Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 through 24. Let's read these verses. We're talking really about personal relationships as we look at these verses, these last few verses. This entire book of Ephesians is a letter. It is a letter written by Paul that he then sends to the church at Ephesus and would have been read in the churches that were there. And in this letter, he has described all these things that I just reviewed. So starting from the first part of that letter, it's a long letter, right? We don't write letters like this anymore. We don't send emails like this anymore. But Paul writes this letter to the churches to say, hey, these are all the things you should know. These are all the ways in which God has spoken to us. This is the truth of his word. And now at the very end, after he has said all these things, and it would be his custom where he would dictate what he is wanting to communicate, and somebody would be writing it down. But in every one of these letters that are there in the Bible, you find that at the end of it, he would typically write a few words in his own hand. And he would say, I'm writing this in my own hand. Right? Somebody else was doing all the heavy work. Here are a few sentences that I'm writing on my own. And when we do that, when we look at all of that, here are the verses that end the book. And he says, Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. You know, when you read that, and if you don't know anything about Paul, you don't know anything about the letters of Paul in the Bible, and you don't know anything about the Bible itself, what should sort of stand out to you is such a personal nature of these comments. He's speaking about Tychicus, his servant, or fellow servant, pardon me, you know, the one who's been serving with him, and the one who has been faithful to help him and to administer. And then he says, you know, he's going to come and he's going to tell you how I'm doing. Don't you? You can sort of hear the personal communication there. And then he says, you know, grace and peace to you. And you can hear the affection that he has for these people. And when you think about all of these ways that Paul is communicating, what stands out very clearly in this and all of the other letters, Josh, what stands out in all of the other letters is this idea that there are personal relationships that are vitally important. Personal relationships are vitally important. The Bible makes it very clear that if we are to pay attention to the things of God, that God's work in us results in us having deep, meaningful, personal relationships with others. And if you look at this, these sentences that Paul writes, Paul is a person who started out persecuting believers unto death. He was imprisoning them. He was making havoc of the church. And now he ends up expressing the most tender affection and love for the very same people who he had been persecuting. So Paul was a person who was trying to get rid of Christians or believers in Christ. And then he becomes a Christian and is expressing such affection. And I'll tell you just in a little bit some of the other examples of what he expresses. But when he does that, you have to ask the question, what changed? And what changed in Paul's life was that he had an encounter with the true and living God. And on that road to Damascus, when he was on his way to persecute, to imprison Christians, he has a direct encounter with God that causes him to say, this is the true and living God. This is the one that I must serve. This is how my life is going to be changed. And through that one encounter, his life is transformed in such a way that he now ends up being able to do anything and sacrificially give everything for the sake of those that he now calls his brothers and sisters. When he does that, if you look at the way that that happens and the way that that transformation takes place in Paul, the point that I want to make to you is this. Personal relationships for us in our lives, in the world around us, are possible to be good, to be healthy, to be godly, only if we've had a personal relationship with Jesus. It is because we've had an encounter with Jesus. It is because we've come to know him as our Lord and Savior. It is because we've understood that he died on the cross for the sake of my sins. It is because we say that when we accept his sacrifice on our behalf, on my behalf, and that we can receive him as my Lord and my Savior, when we are set free from our sin, and most importantly, that we receive a new life in Christ Jesus, it's because of that that I can actually, truly, appropriately love another person. Otherwise, I'm caught up in myself. I'm caught up in my own desires. I'm caught up in my own selfishness. I'm caught up in my own everything. But it's only when I have come to know Jesus, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, then there's a difference in terms of how I'm going to relate to somebody else. What I'm going to do for the stranger, for the casual acquaintance, for my family member, for every person that I encounter, there's a difference only because I have first come to know Jesus. So the prerequisite here is this idea that this personal relationship that I'm describing here and talking about starts with a personal relationship with Jesus. And that double blessing, the fact that Jesus has paid the penalty for our sin and that he has given us new life, these are the reasons that we're able to love God and love others. Now, Paul, in his examples, he sets a whole bunch of examples of how to, you know, sort of establish these personal relationships. In his relationships with the other apostles, he was clearly loving, praying for, ministering to them, but he was also firm in the faith, even to the point of rebuking Peter when Peter does something wrong, right? In his relationships with Barnabas, Silas, and others, Paul demonstrates a sacrificial and deeply committed partnership for the sake of the gospel. And then the Bible says that he even had a sharp disagreement with Barnabas. And yet, later on, we see how he reconciles, and the person that was the reason for the disagreement, John Mark, he reconciles, and he's speaking of Mark, John Mark, as a fellow worker who's a comfort to me. So we see these ways in which Paul describes his relationships. In living with Aquila and Priscilla for a time as a tent maker, Paul is showing how to live in harmony and to labor productively with others. When he is making his appeal to Timothy and says to Timothy, you need to stir up the gift that is in you, he is showing how he is equipping somebody else for ministry, empowering them for success, and employing them or enabling them to be in a challenging environment where they can be effective. So in all of these ways and more, Paul is showing how his personal relationships with people are informed because of his personal relationship with Jesus. And in short, Paul cares deeply about the people he's in fellowship with. His affection for them, I read you just these verses from the book of Ephesians, but you look at the other epistles and you look at the names of people that he lists out, especially in the book of Romans. He's got this whole list of greet this person and talk to this person and I'm so glad for this person. I mean, it's very clear that he's got this deep affection and love for these people that has come because of his affection and love for God. So when we look at all of these things and we understand that our relationships are not because of our own desires or perceptions. You know, you can't say, this is a good person, I'll have a relationship with him. This person, oh, I'm pretty sure I can trust them, I'll have a relationship with him or her or whatever it may be. It's not based on our perceptions and our desires. Oh, I want to have a relationship with this person because why? They're going to help me get a better job. I mean, we go after relationships for all sorts of selfish reasons, for all sorts of reasons that are to consume it on our pleasures. But the Bible speaks about this and talks about relationships in such a special way that it is critically important for us to understand that personal relationships are vitally important. Now, having said that, let me also mention that Paul warns of false apostles, false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing. He refers to those who have hurt him, those who have shipwrecked their faith, others who have caused great damage. So Paul is not ignorant. He's not naive. He's not blind to the reality that human relationships don't always go well as much as we would want them to. And from our own experiences, we know that because of our own flesh, because we have been hurt in the past, because of spiritual forces of evil, we are either wary to establish a relationship or we end up in a bad relationship because of our own things that are going on. So when we say that we want to be led by God to establish good, healthy relationships with clear and appropriate boundaries, even then, when we talk about our good relationships in the Lord, we can hurt each other. Because it is very difficult to build a relationship. It's very easy to destroy a relationship. All that we have to do is to lie once, is to deceive, is to have some selfishness. It's very easy for us to pull down a relationship, to tear it down. So how do we establish, how do we maintain a relationship that is godly and that is lasting? And that's where we get to these next set of verses, or these verses in Ephesians 6, verses 23 through 24, where Paul says, peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Peace, love, faith, and grace are the means by which we maintain, the means by which we even establish, but definitely the means by which we maintain our personal relationships. In all these chapters in Ephesians, we've already seen how peace and love and faith and grace are vitally important. We receive them from God and we live them out so that we can glorify God and fulfill His purpose. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the qualities of the Holy Spirit of God Himself that are nurtured in us as if we are a tree so that we can bear fruit. You know who the fruit benefits? Somebody else. God calls us to live in this way, to bear fruit of this kind, to have peace and joy and love and grace be characteristic of our lives so that it'll benefit somebody else. How do you maintain a relationship with somebody? If this is what you are nurturing and bearing, if this is what you're sharing, if this is what drives your thinking and your activity. But it doesn't happen by accident. We have to be intentional, persistent. A tree doesn't bear good fruit by accident. There's a whole bunch of things that come into allowing that fruit to be born. And so as we are intentional and persistent in establishing and maintaining our personal relationships, there are certain things that we have to keep in mind as principles, guiding principles for how we have to relate to others. And the first one is this. We have to be people who associate with others. If you isolate yourself, you will not have a personal relationship with anybody. And the Bible speaks about associating, of being with others, of spending time with people. Not just randomly, not just in some sort of pleasure-seeking way, but to say, God, who should I reach out to? What should I do with this person? How should I spend time with them? How can I make time for them So we start to associate in such a way that we can get to know those that the Lord is leading us to. The second thing is, we need to be discerning of people. And discernment just means that we would understand who they are, what they're about, and what is driving them. What's motivating them? We start to discern. And the Bible speaks about it as a gift of discernment, but it speaks about how God gives us the ability to understand others. In fact, it speaks about Jesus when he was walking on the earth. It says in John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man." You want to know this person that you're dealing with, and you want to know how to be able to deal with them? Ask Jesus, because Jesus knows what's in the heart of man. You see the hands of man, what he does, what she does. But Jesus sees the hearts of men, who they are. And that's the discernment that we want to seek. Thirdly, we want to build spiritual and not fleshly relations. We're not looking to know them in some sort of flesh-driven way, the passions and desires of the flesh. But we're looking to know people spiritually in the Lord. That helps us to be aware of any inappropriate or premature emotional attachments, manipulation, obligation, coercion, and selfishness. Because now you're dealing with that person in such a way that you're not looking for selfish gain. You're not trying to get ahead. You're not trying to say, if I do this for this person, they'll do this for me. And even though I'm not liking this, I'll do it just because I want to get this result. No, you're not doing that. You're saying, no, this is an opportunity where this person is coercing or manipulating, and I'm not going to do that. So there's a way in which we build spiritual and not fleshly relations. The next thing, we pray for the people that we're in relation with. We pray for them. We pray all kinds of prayer for all kinds of people. And we pray for these people that we're coming into connection with. We're associating with them. We're discerning them. We're building spiritual relations. But we pray for them. And we say, God, bless this person. Help them to know you. Let them grow in you. We encourage the people that we are in relationship with. We look for ways to help them move forward in the will of God. We nudge them, these people that we're in relation with, we nudge them to stay on the path, not to be distracted and not to be misled, but to stay, to stand, to keep moving forward. We do that. We correct or we rebuke in love. We labor and we serve with the people that we're seeking to have a relationship with. We cooperate. We submit to one another. We look for the harvest that's ahead of us as we're laboring together. We mentor and we disciple those that we're in relationship with. We're saying, hey, help, let me, I'm able to learn in this area, or I've been working in this area for a little bit. Let me help you. And you're able to do something for me in that area. You can help me. And we're able to mentor and to disciple and to move together in those ways. We don't make demands of the people that we are in relationship with. We do everything as unto the Lord, not unto others, so that they will reciprocate. We're not doing it so that we say, I'll do this for you so that you can do this for me. No, we're saying, no, I'm doing this as unto God. You know, we are sensitive to their needs and seasons of life. When we are in relation with somebody, we're sensitive to their needs and their season of life. And we hold things loosely. And we recognize seasons can change. Things can vary. But in the middle of all of that, we trust God to do the right things for every single person that we're interacting with. And we love people that we're in relationship with. We cultivate a genuine care and compassion for people. And that leads us to say this. We sang about this quite a bit in the time to worship, or worship in song, that it is the love of God that allows us to do anything. It's only that when we experience that love of God, that we can't measure the height of it or the depth of it or the width of it. We just simply know that we're receiving this love of God. And when we receive what we say, what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24, grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. You know why we can love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love? Because he lavished his love on us. He loved us in a way that transcended our thinking, our imagining, our expectations. And the Bible speaks about God loving us so much, unconditionally, that he gave his life for us, so that, as we have believed, we can have eternal life. That's a love of God that we can't even explain. We can only experience. And when we experience this kind of love of God, that love of God flows to us and then through us. How do you maintain a healthy, godly, personal relationship with some other person? Only in as much as you allow the love of God to flow through you to that person. Otherwise, it's you. But here, you're just the channel. You allow the love of God to flow. And when the love of God flows through you, it refreshes you, it gives you life, and it gives life to the next person, to that person to whom you are sharing the fruit, to that person to whom you show peace and love and grace and faith. So this is a wonderful way for us to end this book of Ephesians. Because the whole book of Ephesians, as we talked about, the first three chapters are telling us about God and what he's about and what he's like and how he speaks to us and so on. And the next three chapters speak about how we respond to God, how we can't help but do these things because he has first done this for us. But at the end of the book, he's writing all these things, Paul is, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he ends it with saying, grace and peace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. It is that love of God that we need in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages, in our parenting, in every possible personal relationship. If you're preparing to be doing anything, and you know you've got to interact with some other person, pray and ask God so that you can say, God, this is how I want to apply your word. I want to commit to establish and maintain godly relationships. I want to show the love of God to somebody. They may not even know it. I don't have to say it. I'm not having to carry a big sign. I don't have to be sort of explicit even. But they will experience it if I'm truly being motivated and driven by the love of God. So we commit and maintain in such a way that we take every opportunity to extend the peace, the love, the faith, and the grace to each other. The church, the body of Christ, this local church, New Life Fellowship Church, this can be built up only as we maintain or establish and maintain godly and therefore healthy personal relationships. Let me also tell you this one thing. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. What's the implication? It is possible that the person that you are trying to show the love of God to doesn't want to receive it. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is, as far as it depends on you, you do what you have learned. Bible says, let us live up to what we have attained. So if you understand that these are the things of God and these are the ways of God and this is the love of God, do that. Commit to establish and maintain godly relationships. So here at church, we seek to take practical steps to develop an atmosphere where personal, not just functional. Functional relationships are where, you know, it's a contract. I do something, you do something. You know, it's functional. We get something accomplished. But we want to establish an atmosphere where personal deepening, not just superficial, but deepening and supportive, not where you're just piling burdens on somebody else. Oh, I want to be related to this person because they're able to take care of this great thing, so I'll put it all on them. No. How do we support? We're supportive and we're faith building. So we want to take practical steps to develop an atmosphere where personal, deepening, supportive, faith building relationships of love are highly valued as expressions of our passion for the supremacy of God's love. That's what we're being called to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us and your goodness to us. And we thank you, Lord, that we can ask you to transform us in such a way that our personal relationships are transformed. Lord, we want to establish and maintain healthy personal relationships. We want to establish and maintain godly personal relationships. We want to establish and maintain relationships where we are speaking peace and love and faith and grace to one another. Lord, how beautiful that is. How wonderful that is. Lord, where we would seek the good of others and we would look to build them up according to their needs. We would speak words that are apt. Lord God, help us. Grant us grace to seek and to build these kinds of relationships. Lord, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our church, in our communities, led by God to build relationships in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.